today on Real Radio.
I've only worked for guys who have done well. And if you want to get a good job, you want to work for somebody who's doing well. Why? So you can advance. Stop being jealous about other people and grab your boots, put them on, and go to work. And God will bless you. He will bless you. Sweat at it. Go for it. Watch what happens. God opens doors.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Always God at Work, Part 1, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, the prophet Isaiah is well known for both his near and far prophecies. God used him to warn Judah and the city of Jerusalem of coming judgment if they didn't turn from their sin. But God also gave him visions far into the future, the coming of the Messiah Jesus Christ, and also what would happen in the last days when Christ returns. In Isaiah chapter 17, we learned how Damascus, the capital of Syria, will play a role in end-time events. Damascus has been attacked many times in history, but unlike Israel, God will use other nations to completely destroy it. But war is not our greatest threat today. Our greatest threat is forgetting God and what He's done for us. Now, continuing in Isaiah chapters 18 and 19, we'll see how Isaiah's prophecies cover the entire world, and even more so as the end approaches. So today on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that technology, development, and progress is a good thing when it's in the right hands. But when God removes His umbrella of protection from a nation because of sin, fear and financial ruin will grip its people. And now continuing his lesson called Always God at Work, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Fourth argument, and by the way, there's hundreds of arguments. I'm going to give you just a couple here, or four. The damming of the Nile River has prevented microorganisms from flowing downstream into the Mediterranean Sea, resulting in the ruining of their very, very productive fishing industry, which has tragically affected the Egyptian economy, has led to unemployment. The unemployment has led to a rise in crime rates, and it has removed a key source of food, that is fishing, from the Egyptian people. That's a current problem today, ever since they built the dam. Very interesting. Let's pick it up in verse 11. Surely the princes of Zoan, you can circle that. Zoan is, again, I mentioned on Sunday, Spielberg and the Raiders of the Lost Ark. Remember that? I'm not on a Spielberg kick right now. It just happens to be, if you saw Raiders of the Lost Ark, Tanis. Remember Tanis was one of the geographical locations in the movie? Tanis is the modern day name that Spielberg used in the movie. It's a real place. It's here, Zoan, in your scriptures. It's the same location. That's kind of fun, huh? You got to write that down. Tanis. He says, surely the princes of Zoan are fools. Pharaoh's wise counselors give foolish counsel. How do you say to Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of ancient kings? He's mocking them. Where are they? Where are your wise men? Let them tell you now, and let them know that the Lord of hosts has purposed against Egypt. The princes of Zoan have become fools. The princes of Nav are deceived. They have also deluded Egypt, those who are the mainstay of its tribes. Verse 14, the Lord has mingled a perverse spirit in her midst. The word is the Lord has allowed. It's the moving of the protective covering. Again, going back to the umbrella. Because of Egypt's treatment of Israel, God removes His umbrella. There's a demonic rise in spiritual activity, and they have caused Egypt to err in all her works. That's kind of creepy, everybody. Could America be making the stupid decisions it's making because of demonic influences, because the umbrella's been moved? I absolutely believe that's true. I really do. As a drunken man staggers in his vomit, that's pretty graphic. That's pretty gross. Verse 15, neither will there be any work for Egypt. Its economy is going to be devastated. Which the head or tail, palm branch or bulrush may do. Poverty, unemployment. It's tragic. I think before we go any further, I should make mention about how God in his word makes it very clear that we are to be busy at work with our hands. Did you know that work is a blessing? And I'll just speak to the men. I'm not being chauvinistic. I am a man. If I was a woman, I'd say it different. I'm a man. And I'm just saying to the guys, one of the most horrific things, guys, for us, and I'm not telling anything new. Ladies, listen up. This is top secret. Letting you in on something. When a man is not producing something with his hands, and I don't mean necessarily building a house. I mean, when a man is not producing an income, he finds it hard to live life. There's such a value that men get out of bringing home the bacon or bringing home the kill. Now, the kill may be that we had great sales this month and we reached the quota. You know what I'm saying? And when men are not working, and a lot of men are being lied to, well, you know what? You've paid into the system. Sit back for a while and collect unemployment for a while. Yeah, you know you have the right, but it's not good for your soul. It's not good for your soul. It's not good for your thinking. Men do the best when they're sweating at something. It's just a fact. And please don't take this as a sexist thing. I'm just picking on guys because I am one. I get to do that because I'm a guy. Women value same, okay? But note this. A lot of people today, and you know, I know it seems like I'm beating up on the young people. I'm not. I just want you to think, young people. I want you to think. I want you to use your head and think. You're being told that technology, which is an incredible hypocrisy, every young kid lives off of technology. But there's some goofballs somewhere telling the young kids, technology's bad. We need to get back to horse and buggy. We need to unplug. We need to decrease the population of the earth because the earth can't handle it, which is an absolute lie. And we need to get back to basics, and everybody needs to walk everywhere. And at best, you know, you should have a bike, but that's about it because we want to leave a very little carbon footprint. Okay. And of course, the guy who says that flies around the world in his Gulfstream jet. Listen, technology, though we hate it most of the time, is a really great thing. I think it's a God-given thing. Technology, development. Did you know, listen, all this crying about people, well, you know what, that guy, he's a one percenter. And this disgruntled nation we have of people that are very jealous, actually, of others. That's very sad. Instead of being inspired by someone's achievements, people are jealous because that guy worked hard, he got a big home, he lives at the beach, and I don't know what I'm making this up right now, but whatever it is, what's your problem? Well, he's got something I don't have. Well, why don't you shut up and go to work? Why don't you go do it? Thank God Bill Gates didn't have that mindset. Thank God Steve Jobs didn't think like that. You say, what do you know? Might I remind you, my generation invented the cell phone. Do you like your iPad? My generation. Technology is a good thing when it's handled right. And development is a good thing because you know what? Nobody works and gets a raise if you work for a poor man. Have you noticed that? I've never worked for a poor man. I've only worked for guys who have done well. And if you want to get a good job, you want to work for somebody who's doing well. Why? So you can advance. Stop being jealous about other people and grab your boots, put them on, and go to work. And God will bless you. He will bless you. Sweat at it. Go for it. Watch what happens. God opens doors. But technology is a great thing. Technology has caused us to create, for example, more food. America, did you know that the United States produces enough food to feed the entire world? Did you know that? You say, I don't believe it. Well, listen, do you know the United States pays farmer? The United States pays farmers to not produce food. Did you hear what I said? America, this nation, just the ground is so amazing that it just wants to like throw bread at you and food at you. Okay? The pilgrims discovered that. This ground just burps crops. And if you think I'm fooling you, take a drive up north. It's only about 5.5 hour drive from here. We ought to take a field trip. We ought to drive up to Salinas. Have you ever been? Yes, you should go. It's the Salad Bowl of America. Did you know that? That's what it's called, the Salad Bowl of America. That's where John Steinbeck wrote the book, The Grapes of Wrath. Northern California can provide enough vegetables and all from just that little spot of Northern California for the entire nation. But our nation, God has blessed. Technology is a good thing when it's in the right hands. And development is a good thing. The United States, ladies and gentlemen, everybody's down on the America uses 25% of the world's energy, and it's only a fragment of its population. We're gluttons for power. Did you know that the United States is the cleanest industrialized nation on the planet? Listen, India and China, no one's talking about their pollution. You can't even breathe there. And through technology and development, listen, you guys, I was born and raised in California. I remember things called smog alerts. Growing up, we couldn't have football practice because the sky was yellow. Remember that? Technology and development made this, listen, we have clear skies almost every day, and it's been like that for years. People joke about LA smog, not anymore, they don't. How did that happen? Development, progress, technology, it's a good thing. But when God removes his umbrella from a nation goes dumb. A nation goes stupid. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. We're in California. California used to be the greatest thing in the world. We used to have the sixth largest economy among all the nations of Earth. California. Did you know that? When it came down to nations, California was the sixth largest economy of nations on earth, and we were just a state among 49 others. Where was the computer invented? California. Where was the aerospace industry invented? California. Where was the gold rush that changed the course of the earth? California. Movie industry used to be a good thing. California. Think of it. The Pentecostal movement, Azusa Street Revival, California. The Jesus People Revival, California. Think of it. A lot of great things. Space program. Amazing. What's happened? Umbrella's been moved. If I was dictator of this state, you know what? Instead of goofing off up in Sacramento, with everybody's lives, trying to figure out how they can ruin somebody else's life next. You know what? You could do it. Because California, there's enough brains in this state. You could right now designate 5 locations based upon Israeli technology, which, thank God, I think Oceanside has hired an Israeli company. I think it's Oceanside that's doing this right now. I think it's, or Carlsbad, doesn't matter. 5 locations, state of California, on the coast. Desalinization plants. California would never have need of a rain cloud again if you took the water from the Pacific Ocean and do to it what Israel's doing. You say, can that be done? How do you think sailors drink water on ships out in the sea? Did you know that? You think the submarine pulls up and gets a sparklets truck? You guys, you ever think about that? You guys, our sailors have been drinking seawater for decades because the salt is taken out of the water and they drink fresh water. It's nothing. Anybody can do it. Why aren't we doing it? Because our politicians are too busy ruining people's lives. You want to create jobs? Do that. You want to stop the water crisis in California? That's how you do it. You say, well, but what about the environment? Perfect for the environment. Everybody who's crying about polar ice caps melting, they say the sea's going to rise. So suck water from it and drink it. I'm not running for office. I'm just full of ideas. That's all. But you can't think like that when the umbrella's been moved, when God's hand has been lifted. Won't work. You guys, we'll get back in to this next time around, and it's going to be kind of fun because here's the very next thing on our study in chapter 19. You see, verse 16 and 17 starts a dialogue of in that day. Look at verse 16, in that day. Look at verse 18, in that day. Look at verse 19, in that day. Verse 21 in the middle, in that day. See that? Very important. Isaiah is going to be talking to us about the future. When he tells us here coming up that verse 17, and the land of Judah will be a terror to Egypt. Okay? That is going to be fascinating fact and truth that we're going to take a look at. We are going to look at the fact that in verse 19, in that day there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt. He's talking about the future. And a pillar to the Lord at its border. And it will be a sign and for a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. Everybody look at that verse. We'll look at it next time. Guess what? Have you ever heard about the pyramids? Listen, be careful. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question. It's a trick question. Who built the pyramids? All of the pyramids in Egypt have been built by the Egyptians except one. The first one. The first pyramid in Egypt was not built by Egyptians. It's one of the seven wonders of the world. It's still standing today, remarkably intact. And it has, inside of it, it has characteristics that boggle the mind today. It is an absolute, profound mathematical chamber. Proven. Remarkable. Not built by the Egyptians, built by a different group of people, and it's built on, listen, it's built on the border. And it was standing in Isaiah's day. He would have known about it. What is it? The Bible says that in that day there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt and a pillar to the Lord at its border, and it will be a sign and a witness to the Lord of hosts. Could it be that this image, this construction pyramid, 4,575 years old this year, that has withstood unbelievable things. Could it be that that's something Isaiah is referencing? Could it be? We don't know. But the punchline is this. Egypt today has its official religion. Anybody know what that is? It's Islam. Isaiah 19 is going to teach us that Egypt is going to serve the Lord, and it is going to be with Assyria and Israel in the last days. There'll be a highway there that will connect them, and it will be blessed of the Lord. That means Islam has to come to an end. Because Egypt and the region of Assyria, ladies and gentlemen, Assyria is Iraq, Iran, parts of Saudi, northern part of Saudi, all the way up to Lebanon. In Syria, the Bible says in Isaiah 19 that they will worship the Lord in that day. Think of it. That's an amazing thing. Muslims need the gospel. They need the hope that you enjoy. They need to know that God is a God of love, not a God of violence. That he's a God of sacrifice. He sacrificed his own son on the cross. They don't need to sacrifice themselves. Jesus gave himself for anyone who would turn their heart toward him. Father, we thank you for your word and for the promises that you've made us. And Lord, though portions of the scripture obscure, strange to our ears, and maybe even strange to Isaiah, when you look down the corridor of time and prophesied of things that, as your Bible tells us, the prophets desired to know, but didn't. Well, here we are, Lord, 21 centuries later, and we know enough that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life, and that we as a nation confess tonight, we do not look to the White House or to the State House for the answer. I'm not saying that we're not going to vote and we're not going to let our voice be heard, but what I am saying, Lord, is that we recognize tonight, though it may be a few of us, that we need revival. We pray, Lord God, that you'd come down and visit your people with an outpouring once again. An unexplainable, remarkable revival of holiness. We're Christians where we would give up on things that distract. We would stop doing that which is wrong. We would turn to you with hot hearts, and that we would follow you. That we'd get very serious about worshiping the one true God. Heavenly Father, tonight I pray that by the interruption of your Holy Spirit in our lives, we would be a different people. We desire you, Lord. Church, let's stand as we close in this song to the Lord. Father, we desire you. We love you, God. In our profession and confession that we love you, we also confess that we need to love you more. Lord, in this song, may we express that love to you. You're here, you're listening. May we touch you from the heart in Jesus' name.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Always God at Work, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today. You know, it's God's desire always to bless us. It's only when we refuse him that he lifts his hand from our lives. Always God at Work, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, The Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, have you had a chance to catch a few videos on Pastor Jack's YouTube channel? He's got some amazing, hard-hitting topics on there that can really help your faith. In these videos, Pastor Jack tackles some pretty controversial subjects. So if you're a Christian who wants to dive deeper into what the Bible says about border control, immigration, abortion, gun control, racism, socialism, and drug use, the series is called Engaging the Culture. It's critical that believers stay informed about what's happening in their culture today, when so many of our leaders aren't lobbying for the gospel or the church. Now, most of us have paid some attention to YouTube, so next time you sit down at the computer, head over to Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the YouTube channel, and learn how to engage the culture that you live in and point others towards Christ. And don't forget to click on the notifications icon for the latest video. If you need more info, it's available at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.